see my picture on the cover. Stone. Wanna buy five copies for my mother.
This is America Weekend, a new kind of radio, because life doesn't stop on the weekends. And I'm Paul Harris. Thanks for listening. The cover of the Rolling Stone was a hit song by Dr. Hook many, many years ago. And a controversy this week because Jan Wenner's publication, the 53rd most popular magazine in America, put Jokhar Tsarnaev on the cover this week. Jokhar, of course, is the surviving suspect from the Boston Marathon bombing nearly 3 months ago. The cover caused some backlash from people who said, why would you give the pop culture treatment to a guy who's a killer? But many of those people, I don't think, actually read what it said under his picture on the cover. It said, "The Bomber, how a popular, promising student was failed by his family, fell into radical Islam, and became a monster." But let's get perspective from somebody who's both in Boston and in the magazine business, Eric Randall, who's associate digital editor for Boston Magazine. Eric, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you. Hi.
What did you think of the...
Well, I think it has been just very surprising how sort of violent the reaction has been. And you're starting to see it on either end, both defenders and detractors. I think Rolling Stone, you know, all things equal, seems to have annoyed enough people that when you're in the customer service business, they probably should have rethought their artwork.
Yeah, I know that CVS and Walgreens and some local chains there in Boston have refused to carry Rolling Stone, this issue anyway. They only sell about 5% of their issues via newsstand. It's mostly via subscription. But tell me, right, from the magazine business, one of the complaints I heard about this was, oh, they're just trying to sell copies of their magazine. Yeah, doesn't everybody make that decision when you pick a cover photo for any magazine?
Right, so that's always a goal. I don't think it's particularly relevant here. As you said, the newsstand is only 5% of their circulation. And I think with Rolling Stone, if they're really trying to sell out, they do a stunt like putting the teens in True Blood naked on their cover, or, you know, Adam Levine with a woman's hand down his pants, or, you know, things they have definitely done in the past. But I think people buy magazines when they see celebrities they like, and, you know, Tsarnaev is not one. So I think this was really a decision about trying to feature a story that they really wanted people to see and read.
What was your personal reaction when you saw it as a Bostonian?
So I, working in the news, I have seen that photo of him many times. So I didn't react as viscerally as I think a lot of other people did. But I think for the people who have grown up or remember Rolling Stone's sort of cultural impact, the cover of it, that song, as you mentioned, the reaction was a bit more instant. For me, I had to sort of think about why this might have some sort of harm on, some harm by glorifying him or whatnot.
Do you think it does glorify him?
I don't know. I think it, a little bit. I think it necessarily makes him famous, but I don't know that wasn't already the case. And I definitely think, photo choice aside, I think it's a worthy subject for journalism to look into his life and his motivations. I don't think, you know, our mayor said, why didn't Rolling Stone have a cover story about the victims of the marathon? And there have been, you know, countless stories about the stories of the victims of the marathon, and many of them have been very good, but that doesn't preclude anyone from looking into the perpetrators or the alleged perpetrators.
Right. It's not an either or. It's, hey, this is the story we're going to choose to do, and we're going to do some investigation. And I thought that Janet Reitman, who wrote the piece, spent a couple of months on it, and I thought she did a pretty good job. I was one of the few people, I think, in America who actually thought, well, let me see what the article actually is. Did you get a chance,
right,
to read it, Eric?
I did. I read through it, and I thought it was certainly really in-depth, and I thought it was really shitty. The reporting that she had that a lot of people hadn't was she spent a lot of time with his high school friends, and I thought that was really fascinating to hear their perspective, because they're understandably confused, I think, and conflicted.
Yep. If the concept of the story is, look, this was a guy who people liked, and they didn't know that he turned into a monster, which we all know in the end is exactly what happened, and the radicalization of him by extremist Islam. Well, I think the mission was accomplished by the piece, and if attention is brought to it by the cover, then that mission is accomplished too.
There is that, and I think that the decision of whether to do it aside, just as a photo, it matches the message of the piece pretty well, because she's trying to say the people closest to him and around him didn't see this coming. So when you look at this person on this cover, it doesn't instantly communicate future terrorist, and I think that's the impression it's supposed to give you. I think then the question is whether that is worth the, you know, cultural real estate that they've given him in order to send that message.
Bill Maher joked last night that some of the people who complained said that the cover photo made Joe Carr look like a rock star, and he said, maybe the problem is too many of our rock stars look like murderers.
That's a pretty good line.
But I'm curious about the photo itself, and I don't know this, maybe you do, because after the Rolling Stone cover came out, people were saying, why did they have to show that picture? Yeah. Are there a lot of other photos they could have chosen of this guy?
There are. There are none that are so primped, I guess. There are the ones I've seen are of him in graduation robes or, you know, looking a lot younger, for instance. There aren't a huge number. You do see the same ones sort of circling around.
So it's not like they had to look around. It's not like they had one where he looked like a monster, is my point.
Right. Well, not one of high photo quality, you know.
Right.
There are definitely some grainy photos of taken by surveillance cameras at the marathon finish line, and since then some photos have emerged of his arrest, but those weren't on the table at all when they were making this choice.
Right. The photos that I guess were technically leaked by one of the cops of Tsarnaev in the boat and others, those were not available before Rolling Stone published theirs, right?
Right. So anybody who says, oh, they should have thrown that on their cover, I'm sure they are thinking, yeah, that would have been an interesting option if we'd had it.
Should Rolling Stone even be doing stories like this?
Yeah, I think there's no question they should. I think they have a long history of doing, important hard news as in addition to their mission for music journalism and celebrity journalism. This is definitely not the first time they've dipped their toe into those waters. So, and I think they argued that Tsarnaev being, you know, of an age that's similar to a lot of their readership, and a lot of the people in the piece are college students themselves. So I think they felt it was both an important story nationally and for their readers.
I know you're the associate digital editor for Boston Magazine, so you're the online guy there. But I'm
right.
Sure that a lot of the people on the print side of the actual print published Boston Magazine, in their hearts, were probably a little bit happy to hear about some attention to a print publication in this digital age.
There is that. It can be hard when you work in media to wonder whether the conversation that you think is dominating conversations around the country is actually dominating conversations, or whether you're just staring at Twitter all day. But I think in this case, I've heard about it from enough non-colleagues that it definitely became clear that this had really become a main story.
Yep. There's one other story that's related to this that I do have to mention, and that is that they have found a woman who was scamming the Boston One Fund. Woman named Audria Gauss, 26 years old, from Troy, New York, was arrested yesterday on a Massachusetts fugitive warrant, charging her with larceny. Apparently, she submitted a claim to the fund last month with several pages of false medical records indicating that she'd been treated at hospitals in Boston and in New York for traumatic brain injury suffered in the marathon bombings. The fund, I guess, can't vet every little bit of every little thing, but the paperwork looked real enough that they actually gave her a check for almost $500,000. And now they say they checked and she never went to any of these hospitals. She has never sustained any kind of brain injury. And she's the second person to be caught doing this. So that's kind of a side story that I'm sure will get a lot more coverage there in Boston.
That's right. And she's the second person to be charged with defrauding the one fund. So, you know, those stories are disappointing every time they come out.
Absolutely. Eric, I appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Eric Randall is the associate digital editor for Boston Magazine.
Paul Harris. America Weekend.